to see you this morning. Good to have you here. This morning, we are going to return to our series on the book of Revelation. As you remember, now there's no way this morning I can go back and recap everything that we've talked about. The messages are there up online. But I do want to remind you that the book of Revelation, while it is a prophetic book about the future, and it does speak to the future, it also spoke to the people to whom it was written. They were living in a world which to them seemed like it was coming to an end. They were living under the boot of Roman imperialism. They were living under the persecution of what they knew then as Christianity. They were living in a world that really just seemed to be going out of control and chaotic. And the message, the overriding message, the book of Revelation, is things are not as they seem. Christ is still king. Can I get an amen? I mean, and listen to me, there are a lot of similarities between the first century church and the 21st century church, especially in the Western world. And I believe that message is still for us today. There are a lot of ways in which it seems like the ground has shifted under our feet, doesn't it? And it is important for us as we go through the book of Revelation that we too understand that things are not as they seem, that Christ is king. And as we walk through this, the point of this particular series, this very short series on Revelation, the point has not been to unpack every single symbol, every single scene. The point has been to get the message. What is it saying to us today as we are living in this world that we are living in today? And this morning, I want to pick that up again. Now, this morning, I do want to make a point about the rest of the book. We've talked about chapters 1 through 5 or some things from chapters 1 through 5. And this morning, it's important that I point out to you for the rest of the book, particularly chapters 6 through 19. You got to understand that it is written on a grand scale. In other words, the scenes that take place in chapter 6 through 19 are scenes that happen on the world stage. They are a grand stage. And when prophecy of this magnitude happens, when prophecy happens on the world stage, now this is important that you remember both for this week and for the next 2 weeks, that prophecy stands as an event in time, but it casts a shadow long before it gets there. Are you following me? That prophecy stands as something that's going to take place in time, but like a great oak tree, it casts a shadow a long ways out there. And the closer you get to the fulfillment of that prophecy, the greater the shadow gets. And you can actually begin to get a feel for the fact that you are approaching the fulfillment of the prophecy by watching the shadow that is cast into the time. And that is absolutely true about what I'm going to talk about this week and what I'm going to talk about next week. That the shadow of the fulfillment of the prophecies that we're going to talk about over the next 2 weeks are actually cast into the time that we live now. Now, having said that, I just want to take a moment and us pray and us get the mind of the Spirit about what we're going to talk about today. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the privilege that we have to come and allow your word to speak to us and to unpack it in a way that we as your people can understand what you're saying to us today. Yes, it has great implications for the future, but you're saying something to your church today, and we want to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we thank you for that, that you come and speak to our hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you know, anybody here knows what a watermark is? What a watermark is. Somebody help me. What is a watermark and what is the purpose of it? What purpose does it serve? Just shout it out. Help me this morning. What's a watermark? I'm not talking about your laundry. A watermark on a piece of paper. A watermark is actually it's a mark that is manufactured into the paper, such that you may not be able to see it on the face, but when you hold it up to the light, you can see the watermark. It is manufactured into the paper. So it is a part of the paper. It's manufactured in. It is used on papers that have great significance. Official documents usually have a watermark in them. Legal documents have a watermark in them. This is my, and I was absolutely amazed that I could find it. This is my birth certificate. And in my birth certificate, you look at my birth certificate, and it's just a plain birth certificate. I mean, it just, you know, it says that I'm 39 years old. Actually, I'm just kidding. I'm not ashamed of my age at all. I'm 41. I'm married to a 23-year-old, so. But if you look at it just face on, it just looks like a piece of paper with some writing on it. But if you hold it up to the light, you see it, Mike? You can see the watermark in it. It is emblazoned. It is marked in. Well, the watermark, the reason an important document has a watermark is it authenticates this paper. And it protects it against counterfeit. It protects it against someone faking this document. And this morning, I want to talk with you a few moments this morning about what I call a spiritual watermark. Every life here this morning, every life that exists has a spiritual watermark. And I want to talk with you a few minutes about that this morning as we unpack the scripture. Now, let me get to the area we're going to be talking about this week and next week. We're going to be talking about chapters 6 through 19. Again, I want to tell you, it is not my purpose to unpack every symbol, every sign. There is no way. I did that once. It took 42 weeks to do it. That is not the purpose of this morning. But what you can see is in those chapters, there is an enormous amount of activity that happens between chapter 6 and chapter 19. I mean, it just explodes. In fact, the further you go along, the faster it gets. As you read the book of Revelation, it actually seems like time is getting faster and faster and faster. And doesn't it seem that way to you and I today? Like time is getting faster and faster and faster? In those chapters, though, with all that happens, and there's a lot that happens, and I'm going to mention some of those few things this week and next, there are two main, if you will, major themes that happen in those chapters, and they are judgment and war. Judgment and war. Judgment, I'm going to talk about this morning. War, by the way, I'm going to talk about next week in a message I've called Christ and the Battle of the Ages, or you might want to say the cosmic conquest, the cosmic battle. And I'm going to talk about that next week. But this morning, I want to concentrate for a few moments about judgment. And in particular, I want to talk about a crucial contrast that we see developing, a contrast that has implications for us today. Now, let me just talk to you a little bit about some of those chapters and leading up. As chapter 6 opens, you see Christ standing there with the seal, and he begins to pop the seals, one after the other after the other. First one seal, second seal, third seal, fourth seal, fifth seal, sixth seal, seventh seal. He begins to pop those open. And as you do, you begin to see, what you begin to see is that Christ is judging the earth. All of these things that begin to happen, all of those things that begin to unfold, all of those things that begin to as you see them, as they pop. In fact, for instance, when you see the breaking of the seals and the blowing of the trumpets and the pouring out of the bowls, you see God is judging the earth. He is bringing the earth under his reign. In fact, as the seals are broken, you see conquest, and then you see war, and then you see famine, and then you see death. As the trumpets are blown, you begin to see the vegetation is affected, and the seawater is affected, and then the fresh water is affected. And you see that the heavens themselves are impacted in one of the scenes. That heavens themselves, that stars fall from the heavens, and as it's unpacked there, you begin to see great demonic activity that begins to happen as these seals are popped, as the trumpets are blown, great demonic activity. One scene shows these great locust-like demons that are released into the earth, and it describes them in great, great detail. And what it begins to show is that in all of this, God is bringing the earth under his reign. He's already in control, but he's bringing it under his reign. As you see the trumpets begin to be blown, you begin to see that that there's widespread death, and as the bowls are begin to be poured out, that there are sores that break out on men. There's the seawater and the fresh water. You see it affected. Sun, you see this scorching sun that men can't escape it from. They can't run from it. Then you see this utter darkness. And I'm just going through. As you read through those chapters, you see these things one after the other, after the other, after the other. They unfold, and then as soon as that one unfolds, the next one unfolds, and as soon as that one and it is one scene after the other, and as it gets to the end, it's like it picks up pace faster and faster and faster and faster. And all of this time, you begin to see, again, more demonic activity. And then at the end, you see this earthquake that is described like no other earthquake before. It's an earthquake like there's never been an earthquake before. And all of this time, this goes on chapter after chapter after chapter. And all of the time, God is bringing the earth under his reign. In fact, in chapter 10 of Revelation, and I'm not preaching from there this morning, but I just want to mention this. In chapter 10 of Revelation, you see what is described as a mighty angel. And according to who you read and how you study that, it is either Christ or a picture of Christ and the rule and the reign of God. It's this picture of this mighty angel who is standing there and the clouds clothe him. A rainbow is his crown. He stands with one foot in the sea and one foot on the land. In his hand, he holds the title deed to the earth. He reaches his hands up into the stars, into the, this mighty angel. And he says to John, he tells John, you're gonna eat this and you're gonna prophesy to the nations. It's a picture. It's a picture of God's rule. He's saying, look, the land and the sea and the clouds and the heavens, and it is all under my reign. It is all under my reign. In fact, in the next chapter, in chapter 11, we actually hear this in the next chapter. After you see this great scene of this mighty angel, you hear this. The kingdom of kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and our Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. Listen to me. What he's saying is, don't get dismayed, church. Don't get discouraged, church. Don't be afraid, church. Don't be overwhelmed, church. All that is going, all of the chaos that seems to be going, the end game is this, is that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of God Almighty, and he will reign forever and ever and ever. In fact, the next scene says that the elders worship him and say, finally, you have come, and with your great power, you have begun to reign. You have begun to reign. So there's this great scene that is being unpacked, the end game of which is Jesus bringing, God bringing the rule, the reign of the earth under his reign, placing it under his feet, placing it under his rule. And in the middle of that is what I would call a crucial contrast. And I want to talk about it this morning because it has implications for you and I and the world that we live in right now today. This crucial contrast. At the end of chapter 13, and the beginning of chapter 14, there are a few verses, and I want to read them to you. Here in chapter 13, it's speaking about the beast. I will talk a little more about the beast next week, but this morning, for the sake of this morning's message, I want to get into what it says about this. And then, next week's message and this week's message are very much intertwined. You're going to want to be here next week as well. So talking of the beast, he says this, he also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Now, pause right there. Don't go any further. This is a picture. We're being told here that what you and I know as the mark of the beast. And then immediately, I don't want this to be lost on you. Remember now, the divisions in your Bible, chapters and verses, those divisions are put there after the Bible was written. They're put there for mine and your ease and being able to find them. In the original language, there was no division. There was no chapter 13, chapter 14. These two thoughts ran one into the other. And immediately after telling about the mark of the beast, then immediately, verse 1, what you and I know, verse 1 of chapter 14 says this. Watch what it says. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb, standing on Mount Zion with 144 who had his name and his father's name written on their forehead. Do you see the contrast here this morning? Do you see the contrast that is there? Is the contrast between those, watch this, who are marked by the beast and those who are marked by the Lamb. And I want you to know this morning, listen to me this morning, everything I want to talk about from here on, it comes to this point. Listen, examine carefully the mark that you bear. It determines the outcome that you have. Examine carefully the watermark. Allow the Holy Spirit to hold your life up to the light and examine carefully the watermark that you have. It is inbred. It is imprinted. It authenticates your life. I don't know about you this morning. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. That is good news, church. It is good news. Let me talk about this just for a moment. Let me talk about the mark of the beast just for a minute. I don't want to get too far sidetracked with this, but I want to talk about this just for a moment and make a point. There is perhaps no other symbol in Revelation other than the beast himself. There is perhaps no other symbol in Revelation that has caused more debate and, quite frankly, more fights than the mark of the beast. You Google it sometime, and there are theories that abound about what the mark of the beast is. Is it a tattoo? Is it the number 666, the actual number 666 imprinted on somebody's forehead and their head? Is it some kind of laser that's under the skin? Is it a computer chip that is inserted under the skin in the forehead? There are theories. They go on and on and on and on. Listen, whole denominations have been built around what the mark of the beast actually is. I mean, it just gets crazy. And I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm just going to tell you something this morning. The fact is, from what we are told in the Bible, we simply do not know for sure. We just simply do not know for sure. There are a lot of people who say they know for sure. Can I tell you something? They do not know for sure. I mean, they sell a lot of books and they sell a lot of tapes, but they cannot know for sure. In fact, prophetic literature, Eastern prophetic literature, ancient prophetic literature, which is what this is written in such a way that a lot of it, we aren't supposed to know for sure. We're supposed to trust God and what he's telling us about it. But here's the thing. None of that is even the point. None of that is even the point of what is being said. And we get so caught up in what the mark of the beast is. If I get one more phone call or email about a computer chip under somebody's hand, and is that, you know, might there be a physical, there may well be, but I do not know, and they don't know either. What I do know is this. Somehow, those that belong to the beast will be marked. They will have the water seal of the beast imprinted on them. In fact, if you look carefully at this, the number, we've made so much about the number, the number's not even the point. Notice what it says. He had, watch this, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. The point is they are marked with his name. They are living in his name. They are acting in his name. In fact, the word mark there actually means, watch this, it means stamped as a sign of servitude. Are you following me? Whatever the mark actually ends up being, whatever it is, here's the point. They are stamped as servants of the beast. That is what the marks symbolize. It authenticates. When they are held up to the light, it authenticates who they live for. They have the watermark, the water stamp of the beast in their lives. Now watch this. Here's what's crazy this morning. Remember I told you that the shadow of the prophecy extends way beyond when the prophecy actually begins to come to pass? Can I tell you something? There are far few places where it is more applicable than what we are talking about this morning. You do realize, don't you, that the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, both Paul and John in their day, 2,000 years ago, said you hear about the spirit of the Antichrist, but John says, but the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. 2,000 years ago, Paul said this. Paul said, you talk about the spirit of the Antichrist, but watch this. Paul says this. He is, in 2 Corinthians, he says he is already at work in the world. Can I tell you something? Is that not true? I mean, can't you, just for a moment, think with me for a moment. Forget about the mark of the beast, whatever the mark of the, and think about people being marked this day by the beast. I mean, think about it for a moment. We are living in a world. We are living in an occasion. Listen, that we are living in a world that is less and less gray and is more and more black and white. And as the world becomes more and more black and white, it is absolutely crucial that you know whose watermark you have, whose seal you are living under. I mean, isn't it true? Can we just talk frankly for a moment? Isn't it true? Can't you see the world being marked more and more and more under the spirit of Antichrist? Not necessarily the Antichrist, but Antichrist. Isn't it true? Right? I mean, listen, you don't have to. Let me just say it. Listen, Miley Cyrus does not have to have 666 tattooed across her head for you to know that she is marked by the beast. Right? You don't have to see 666 in her forehead to know that she is what? The water seal on her life is that of the world. It is that of the flesh. It is that of the beast. And there is much that is going on in our world today. You look at it and say, that's the mark of the beast. Now, I don't mean the mark of the beast. I mean the mark of the beast. You follow what I'm saying? That don't look like the lamb. That looks like the beast. And I think we are living in a world today. Listen to me. You think Revelation is for way off out there somewhere? Listen to me. We are living in a world today that you and I more and more and more need to be able to see through the gray and see the black and white and to see that which is marked for the beast and that which is marked for the lamb. In fact, let me show you another characteristic. In Revelation, it says those that are marked by the beast. It actually says those that are marked by the beast. Listen to me. Here's what it says. They, the ones who are marked by the beast, watch this. They did not, I'm quoting here, they still. He's talking about after all the deaths, according to the judgments of God, it says this, quote, they still did not repent of the works of their hands. Those that are marked by the beast, it seems their hearts get harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. There is this refusal to repent. In fact, twice more through Revelation, three times in Revelation, it says they refuse to repent. They refuse to repent. They refuse to repent. My word, church, aren't we living in that world today? Yes, there will be a day when I do believe there will be this distinction one day, but there's more of a distinction being drawn today. That shadow is being cast in our life today. There was, for about 50 years, the great problem with the church was this great graying. This great graying where you couldn't hardly tell the church from the world. Can I tell you what's going on now? There is this great separating black and white. More and more and more and more. You're being able to see the ones that are Christians, the ones that are marked by the Lamb versus the ones that are marked by the world. And it is absolutely crucial in your life and my life that we know whose mark we bear. In fact, I've alluded to it two or three times. Let me show it to you. Watch what chapter 1, verse 14 says. Look at it again this morning. Then I looked, and there before me was a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had the mark of his name and his father's name in their forehead. There again is a lot of debate about who the 144,000 are. Can I tell you one thing I do know for sure about who these are? Or who they are not. They are not the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm just gonna say it, right? They have claimed that for years, and this I know for sure, they are not the Jehovah's Witness. Can we all just agree on that? Some say there are actually numerically 144,000, maybe. Others suggest that this is a number. Remember, when you read the book of Revelation, most often numbers do not mean numbers. The numbers does not mean what it actually, the number represents something. Most likely, this is talking about a perfect group, if you will, of people that have sold out to the Lamb, that have given their life over totally, completely to the Lamb. And there is a sense in which that too is taking place today. In fact, watch this. The word name there, they have the name. The word name there is a fascinating word. Watch this. Get this. If you miss this, you'll miss the whole message. The word name here implies character and authority. Think about what that means, church. These 144 were standing there in the character and the authority of the Lamb of God and of God Himself. Stamped in their forehead was the character of God. Written in their hands was the authority of God. I don't know about you, but for me, that is a wow, church. And listen to me. It is not just for that time. Watch this. Watch this. Listen what Paul says about you and me right now, today. Here's what he says. He says, God has, and I'm quoting here from 2 Corinthians, God has anointed us and set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in us as a deposit on that which is to come. Can I tell you this morning, He has anointed you and set His seal of authority and character on you so that in this black and white world, the world can see the difference between those that are marked by the beast and those that are marked by the Lamb. What we need to be more concerned about today is not what the mark of the beast looks like in that day there. We need the mark of the Lamb on our foreheads and in our hearts and on our lives and the life we live today. Because the mark of the Lamb, the mark of the, when you walk in the mark of the Lamb, you are walking in the character and in the authority of the Lamb of God. You know what we need today? We need less theologians who are worried about what's going to happen one day and more witnesses who have the mark of the Lamb. The watermark that has been held up to the light has been authenticated that these truly are the followers of the Lamb and the worshipers of God Almighty this morning. That's the great contrast. That's what God is saying to you and me in the day that we are living in today. Especially in America today and in the Western world today, when it does seem like this ground has shifted and everything is changing. Listen, listen to me. I'm going to rock your world here for a moment. The day of hiding in the gray is about to be gone. The day of hiding in the gray is about to be gone. In fact, it's slipping away more and more and more. And there's some of you here this morning. Let me just talk to you right here. There's some of you here this morning that have been comfortable living in the gray. You love me this morning? You've been comfortable kind of living in the gray, you know, just dipping a little here and dipping a little there. Just a little bit of this. Listen, I'm telling you, those days are going fast. Those days are going fast. It is more and more and more becoming black and white, not as much gray to hide in as there used to be. Proof. And I try my best to never, ever, ever use headlines or tragedy to sensationalize a message. That is wrong. However, when you see the headlines played out, when you see the headlines played out on the message that you have already prepared to preach, it stuns you. There was very little place for some of those students to hide in Oregon. It was black or white. And in that moment, these are martyrs, yes. But those students were martyrs as well. And when their life was held up to the light of Jesus Christ, and they were asked, if you're a Christian, stand up. And they stood up and they are you a Christian? And they said, yes. And they took a bullet right between the eyes. Listen, their life was held up and stamped in their life was the mark of the Lamb. It was authenticated. It stood the test of time. But in my and your life, in far less severe ways, our lives too are being held up to the light. And what's crucial for you and I this morning is that we understand whose mark we have. Ephesians, Paul said in Ephesians, you are marked. The word marked there actually, listen, the word sealed or marked in Ephesians and Corinthians actually means the exact same thing that the word mark means in Revelation. It means stamped, but in this case, it is stamped for security and for authenticity. You understand, don't you, this morning? The great contrast in the world today is those who have the mark of the beast of the world and those who have the mark of the Lamb and those who are going to live that way. Listen to me this morning. If Christ is your Savior and your Lord, if you have an intimate, personal relationship with Him, do not fear, my friend. Your life bears the mark of the Lamb. I refuse to live in fear. My life is stamped with the mark of the Lamb. I refuse to back up. My life is my life is stamped, and your life is stamped. The watermark in my life reads the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, first and the last, Almighty God, everlasting Savior. That's the mark on our lives. What difference does this make? What difference does it make in our lives, in your life, in my life? The difference that it makes is this, the image of the name of the beast is being drawn ever increasingly in contrast to the mark of Christ. And where there has been a great graying, we're living in a day to world where there's black and white lines being drawn. But the good news is this, here it is. The good news is this, listen to me. You can see the watermark best, not in a gray, dim world. You know, Virginia, you know where you see the watermark best? You see the watermark best in bright light. And what I see happening today is this great darkness, but this great light. And in that light, the lives of God's children is being held up, and so that we can see, yep, there's the watermark. He's authentic. He's real. He has authority. He has power. He has character. He's living in my name. He is my servant. And he's living out my purpose and my goal and my plan for his life. The watermark shows best not in a gray world, but in a black and white world. That's the message for you and I today. Yes, there is a prophetic element to this. And yes, there are going to be those things that are going to unfold. I'm not denying that any whatsoever. But what I'm also saying is this. It has a message for you and me. Holly, it has a message for you. Trevor has a message for you. Judy has a message for you. Elvina has a message for you. Dallas has a message for you. And here it is. If you are living in relationship with Jesus Christ, do not fear. Do not fear. You are stamped. You are authenticated. You have the character and the authority of the Lamb of God. His Father's name is written in your forehead, stamped on your hand. A lot of people today are living in fear. I gotta tell you, it is a great day to be a Christian. It is a great day for those who have the mark of the Lamb on their lives. I believe God's gonna raise them up. He's gonna hold them up to the light. They're gonna shine with the authority, the authenticity, the character, the power, the name of God stamped in their lives. So the question for you and I this morning, in fact, it's probably most appropriate that we're finishing this message with communion. Because the question for you and I this morning is really one of searching. This is, Lord, if that's truth, and it is truth, if that's truth, then what I need to do today is to let your Holy Spirit hold my life up to the light. And you show me the places that aren't bearing your mark. You show me the areas that don't look like you. You show me the places that don't have your character. If there are any at all, I don't want any hidden places. I don't want any dark places. I want all of my life to bear your mark on it, God. And we are told when we take communion to do just that, aren't we? Let every man examine himself. And then let him partake. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. If you're sitting here this morning, we invite you to take communion with us. You do not have to be a member of the Rock Church to take communion with us. The Word does require, it does say you need to be a part of the family of God. So we're going to serve communion this morning. And as we do, I want you to take that cup, take that bread, and hold it in your hand. And as they're serving, take a few moments, won't you? Say, Holy Spirit, examine my life. Make sure that your mark is there in every area and in every place of my life, oh Lord. God, serve them. Take the bread, take the cup, hold it. Let the Holy Spirit do some examining this morning. This question based on your response through the message. But if there's one here this morning that does not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. So bow your heads with me, won't you? If you're here this morning, and as I preach this message, something resonated inside of you and you realized, I'm not marked. My life is not marked by Christ. I don't belong to Him. I'm not sealed and stamped with His mark in my life. I'm living my own life. I'm my own God. I'm doing my own thing. And you were convicted about that. You're uncomfortable about that. That's the Holy Spirit moving on your heart this morning. And if that's you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray a prayer with you this morning before we move into communion. If there's anyone that's here, you just slip your hand up quickly and say, Pastor, that's me. I know that my life does not belong to Christ. I'm not stamped with His name. But I want to make that right now, here this morning. If you're here this morning, just slip your hand up quickly. Anyone. Okay then. Lift your heads and answer this question. I'm going to ask you the question this morning. And I want you to answer it by raising your hand. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Yes, I'll raise my hand. Yes. You are this one. Listen, do not fear. You have the mark of the Lamb on your life. Do not be afraid. You have the mark of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. You put your hands down. Father, we come to you this morning. We celebrate the death, life and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We celebrate it as you told us to with communion this morning. And we celebrate it knowing, Lord, that because of the cross, our lives are marked. We thank you for that this morning. Lord, this bread that we hold in our hands, we're told in Matthew 26:26 that you broke it and you blessed it and you said, take and eat all of you, for this is my body broken for you. And we thank you for this morsel of bread, which represents your body. Most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice that you gave. Lord, we pray that every person here that needs healing will experience that healing. Every person where there's a broken place, that the healing of your broken body, Lord, that healing will flow to them right now. Lord, those that need restoration in their bodies, those that need organs rebuilt, those, Lord God, that need systems restarted and restored, those, Lord God, that need their minds healed, those, Lord, that need their spirits healed, we are whole because of your broken body. And as we take this bread this morning, we remember the sacrifice you made, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us take the bread. Lord, as we hold this cup in our hands, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for the blood that was poured out. The blood that covers our lives, that covers our sins, that washes us white as snow, and that marks us for you. Thank you. We praise you for it this morning. We thank you that you poured your blood out in a sacrifice that we might have life, abundant life, and eternal life. And we thank you. We praise you for it today. As we take this cup, we remember the sacrifice you made. And we say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us take the cup this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Stand with me this morning. Just say hallelujah to him. Hallelujah. 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 Let me say this to you before I speak the numbers 6 blessing over there to you. Let me say this to you. Two things to make absolutely certain that you understand this morning. One is this. If you live in relationship with Christ, do not fear. You have the mark of the Lamb on your life. The other thing I want to make absolutely clear is that we're still living in the age of grace, and even those that I spoke of for a moment ago that have the mark of the world, even those, because we still live in the age of grace, the Holy Spirit is still calling them. He's still wooing them. He's still calling them. And how much more important then that you and I live as those marked by the Lamb so they can see and answer the call of the Spirit, that they too can have their lives marked by him. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray this morning that we not only would live as those marked by the Lamb, but our light would shine. Our stamp would be authenticated in such a way that others would see and would answer the call of the Spirit to come, for you stand there and knock. And that they, Lord, would answer the call. We thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. God bless you. I love you.